Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heighten your awareness of His very real presence in your life. So here's a question to get today's conversation started, and I want you to answer it. I want you to answer it by texting or emailing me. What would you attempt to do in your life if you knew that you could not fail? Tell me, what would you do in your life? What would you at least try to do if you knew you could not fail? I want you to text or email me. I want you to engage in the conversation. In fact, I'm going to want a few amens in this next hour, and I think you're going to want to give them. You can text and engage in the conversation, 877-933-2484, or email middays@myfaithradio.com. Well, my guest today, he's the ultimate risk taker. His stories will blow you away and inspire you. He's really one of the best speakers I've ever heard. Ryan Leake joins me today to talk about his documentary, which will soon become a book. It's titled Chasing Failure. A couple quick announcements before we get Ryan on. One is, if you've not checked out our free Faith Radio app, I'm telling you, you need to do that, especially if you're traveling. We want you to take us with you. Go to Google Play or Apple App Store, and you can search Faith Radio Network. That way you can catch our live shows anytime or the podcasts after the fact. One more announcement is, once a month we do something called Songs and Verses, where we devote the day to a theme. Maybe it's fear or fighting the good fight of faith. Well, tomorrow is Songs and Verses, and the theme, you ready? Get out of that funk. So what songs and verses do you use to get out of your funk? I want you to be thinking about that. You can even also text or email. But we're going to have a whole hour of encouraging you to jump out of the ditch and onto the path and start dancing again and trust God to engage your faith and just throw that discouragement by the wayside. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Ryan Leake is here, and here's what you need to know about him. He's a husband to Amanda, dad to Jackson and Roman. After that, he's an executive coach, an author, filmmaker, speaker that trains 15,000-plus leaders and speaks to 200,000 people each year. He's the CEO of the Ryan Leake Group, and that's a leadership development firm in Dallas, Texas. Listen to this. He proposed to his wife and married her on the same day, having planned their wedding in secret for 2 years. The documentary went viral in 2013, and the Leakes have been featured on Good Morning America, Today's Show, The Queen Latifah Show, and many other outlets. Ryan travels the country, teaches people how to remove the limitations that keep them from dreaming. He and his family reside in Dallas, Texas, and he serves on the staff at Covenant Church as part of the teaching team. Ryan, we appreciate you so much. Welcome to the program.
Oh, it's such an honor to be here. I love it. Can't wait to have this conversation with you.
I can't wait either, and I'm already planning future conversations because there's so many things I want to talk to you about. But we love to start out talking scripture, and I know you love God's Word, Ryan. Yeah. So is there a verse you've been thinking about these days you can share?
Yeah, you know, Acts 11 has really been on my heart. I've really been intrigued by the first century church, what was happening there, and somehow, you know, could we ever mirror that in today's society, because there were so many amazing things happening then, and I believe that God wants to do those things today. Acts 11, there was a prophet that prophesied that by the Holy Spirit there would be a famine in Israel, and it's like, oh man, what's about to happen here? And then it says that they all, according to their ability, chipped in and gave an offering to prepare for that famine for their friends that will be going through tough times. And I've just been staring at that word, each to their ability. And I think it speaks to all of us playing our part in the body of Christ. And some of us have more ability, some of us have less, but I think we all should participate in getting the game in some way, shape, or form. So that's what's been on my heart lately.
Love it. And that's why I asked the question. I think it's fantastic. All right, Ryan, let's talk about one of the risks that actually made you famous. You dared to propose to your wife and plan the wedding so it would take place all on the same day. Say more about that.
You know, when I overheard my wife tell a friend that, you know, I think now it's close to 9 years ago, I heard my wife, then girlfriend, tell a friend that. I really didn't know what that meant. I was perplexed by that. But I assumed, I went, well, she obviously wants the engagement to be a surprise, so would that mean that I would plan the wedding, and what would that look like? So I began doing what I would call sort of my recon work, and I started digging, asking different questions. I was in 11 weddings during this time, by the way. So weddings were a natural part of conversation for us because we were always sort of recapping or rehashing, things that she was, oh, I really love this about this wedding and love these dresses. And so I was always, being somewhat strategic. And I remember getting out of her that that her dream was to get married on a beach. And she had mentioned San Diego. So I actually called a client and said, hey, can I come out and work for you for a day for free? I actually need to go there for some recon work. And so I flew out to San Diego, and while I was there, me and my girlfriend at the time were on the phone, and I'm going to all of these different venues and, kind of doing my homework. And my girlfriend goes, I've been thinking about, man, I think it could be cool to get married on a beach in Puerto Rico. And I was like, oh, sure. She's like, so how's your business trip going? I'm like, oh, it's going, it's going great. And so at some point, how we kind of landed on Hollywood, Florida was one of my friends actually had a condo down there in Hollywood, Florida, and it was next to the Westin Diplomat, and so he said, hey, you should check it out. And so I just did. I ended up just picking because I thought if I follow her idea around the globe, I will go bankrupt at some point. So 2 years planning, many days, wanted to give up and thought if I pull the plug, she'll never know. It's like if I fail this, I could just propose to her like a normal person. She wouldn't be upset by that. And she was anticipating a proposal, and we knew we were going to get married eventually. We ended up dating 5 years to the day of the day that we of the day that we got married. So yeah, it was a ton of fun.
Well, you had, camera crew, filming you some of this
Oh
pre-work
yeah.
that you needed to do. Plus, I'm sure family members, others, how many people knew about it other than her as you're making this big plan?
Ironically, the most difficult part of planning a surprise wedding is not the flowers, it's not even the dress, it's not the bridesmaids, it's not the venue, it's not the food, it's not the cake. It's keeping the secret and managing 100 people also keeping that secret and threatening her best friends to make sure that they kept the secret. Like, I was like managing hangouts. So it's like, okay, you're hanging out with her tonight. Okay, well, make sure that you don't say, and they're like, Ryan, I got it. Ryan, I got it. I'm like, yeah, I don't, but this is a big secret you would like want to share. So don't give any inklings of, I had an Excel spreadsheet of every person's flights to make sure she didn't run into anybody at the airport. I mean, like it so that was probably the most difficult piece of the whole deal.
How'd you pick out a
So,
dress that fit her that she liked? Did her friends help out with that?
yes. So actually, we had plan A and plan B on that one. There was a lady at my church that had a bridal shop, and she actually needed a model for a fashion show. So my wife's beautiful, and so I said, hey, if I had her get in the show, could you fit the dress? Could you figure out what she loves
Wow, you are
and that
so
whole
savvy.
deal? And so she did that, and then so that was plan A. So we actually had the dress was actually probably the easiest part, and then she went wedding dress shopping with someone else and saw something that she absolutely loved, and her best friend was with her, and so we coordinated all of that and had it ready to go
Okay, so
for
we're
the
going to take a
wedding.
break in just a moment, but I got to ask. So you proposed to her, and was she truly surprised that, okay, we're having a wedding today too? And you, I mean, you guys have got to
Absolutely.
watch the video, and we'll tell you where to find it after. But I mean, she just sort of flippantly said how cool that would be to be married and engaged on the same day. But what was her response when that was actually happening?
I mean, she had, and the funny thing is yes, I said, "Hey, will you marry me?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Just can you marry me today?" And we open up this lounge room door, and 100 of our family and friends are standing there. That's how I interpreted that moment. She was staring at the ring and really wasn't listening to me. She was like, "I'm engaged," and she expected an engagement. Like that was, and she didn't see a wedding coming at all. I mean, we had been dating 5 years. She had just graduated college. Like it was time for that. So she was kind of staring at the ring, and then I introduced her to this guy who was, the wedding coordinator at the Western Diplomat, and she's like, yeah, whatever. Like it didn't really hit her until she saw her mom and her best friend running towards her.
Where could people find that video on YouTube? How would they search for that?
They would just type in the surprise wedding.
Surprise wedding. How many people have viewed that video?
I believe it's about 1.4 million.
Isn't that amazing? Surprise wedding, friends. Okay, when we come back, Ryan's got another story about chasing failure, and this is where things, I mean, this is an amazing story that he just shared, but what you're going to hear next is going to inspire you so much. And I asked friends to text in, what would you attempt to do if you weren't afraid to fail? And dear Carrie says, I would write a book and become a speaker. So, Carrie, I want you to do that. We're going to pause here. Text in. I want to hear what your thoughts are. What would you attempt to do if you knew you couldn't fail? A failure wasn't an option, and it was not anything you were afraid of. 877-933-2484, or you can email middays at myfaithradio.com. Talking to executive coach, author, speaker Ryan Leake. If you need a speaker at your church or conference, he's fantastic, stinking funny, has so much depth and content as well. But when we come back, wait till you hear the story he's going to tell you. We'll be back in a minute.
I was a dead man walking.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. Good to have you along today. Here's my question for you. I want you to chime in by text or email. What would you attempt to do if you weren't afraid to fail? Tina writes in, I've become a Christian therapist. And Tina, I want you to take the steps in that direction. I want you to dream here, friends. Don't be afraid. You know, fear can't dictate our decisions. Otherwise, you're playing not to lose rather than playing to win. I'm talking to Ryan Leake today, and he's done a documentary called Chasing Failure. Before the break, we talked about this video on YouTube that he has called The Surprise Wedding, where he planned his wife's proposal and wedding to take place all in the same day. He documented his plans. She had no idea. So the day he proposed was the day that they got married. Her dress, everything was all set. Over 1 million people have viewed that. And while you were on, I think it was Queen Latifah's show, talking about this crazy video mileage that you guys have gotten. Your wife actually had a surprise for you, didn't she?
Oh yeah, it was. When you go on TV, you learn so much, and there's sort of the show before the show where the producer would go through all of the questions that Queen Latifah would ask us live on television. Well, the producer only took us through three questions. And then Queen Latifah went for a fourth question. She says, "Amanda, do you think you could surprise Ryan the same way that he surprised you?" And she says, "Yeah, I think I could." She says, "Ryan, me and the Queen have been planning a little surprise for you, so go ahead and check out the screen." So I look at the back of the studio, and on the screen comes Kobe Bryant. And I instantly lost my mind. I mean, it was absolutely the most, I mean, I started breaking down his words like they were a Bible verse. I said, he said, hey, hey is a term that Americans use when they're greeting one friend, another, Ryan, that's me, we must be friends. I mean, I lost my mind. And so in this video, he invited me out to Staples Center, formal invitation to just come hang out with him and the Lakers. I could pick any game that I wanted to on the schedule, and he extended that invitation on behalf of my wife. So she won, to say the least.
And then you're thinking NBA.
Yeah, well,
this leads us to the Chasing Failure documentary. So help me out here.
Yeah, well, I'm getting ready to, or preparing myself to meet Kobe Bryant, and I, being a big fan of his, and also just respecting, you know, his work as an NBA player, I knew the type of mindset that he had in life and how he dealt with people. And I was just thinking, I was like, I don't want to be some ordinary fan. And so I was trying to think about what in the world are we going to talk about in 10 minutes. You know, this is Kobe Bryant. I'm sure he's met, you know, crazy fans that have shrines in their living rooms of his jersey and candles and all of that. And I said, that's not me. And so I was like, I'm not going to rattle off his stats. He knows his stats. And you know, I'm not going to be the autograph guy. And so I started practicing my greeting in the shower, and it wasn't going well. And you know, ultimately what I landed on was that the only way that Kobe Bryant and I were going to have a intriguing conversation, for him at least, was if I was in the NBA. Now, I went to North Central University in Minneapolis, and I was All-American at that university my senior year. And I'm pretty good at basketball. But NBA good is just another level. And I chose right out of college to pursue business, speaking, consulting right away, because I concluded that I probably could be a better speaker than I could be a basketball player. That was the math that I did pretty early on. Well, so I never pursued professional basketball whatsoever. But I thought, why not? You know, I've always thought about it and have always played against guys that played professionally and would sort of, you know, size myself up to them. And so I just decided, you know, that's what I was going to do. I was going to be in the NBA. So when me and Kobe would meet, you know, we could talk about work, and then we would sort of have our common denominator, so to speak. So I began getting back in All-American shape, started training, and I was training with this guy who, I'm 6'3", about 195. I started training with this guy who was about 6'5", 245. He had just been released by the Chicago Bulls like a couple of weeks before we were training together. And so this guy was very, very good. And we started playing one-on-one. We probably played five times. He beat me every single time, about 11 to 6. There was a clear margin between us. And I'm thinking to myself, if they waived this guy, if they released this guy from 10, there's no way they would give a guy like me a shot. And in that moment, I felt what a lot of people feel right before they take the next step towards their dream. And I felt this sense of I pre-calculated failure, and so I was getting ready to abort mission. And then I thought, why in the world do we do that? Why do we let this moment keep us from moving towards the things perhaps God's put on our heart? And so that day, this project was birthed in my heart called Chasing Failure. And the reason for that is there's this long line in the world that you and I live in of people trying to chase success. And I decided, you know what if we started a line for people that were chasing failure, and I'd be the first one in line. And the common denominator of every single successful person you and I know, look up to, admire, follow, the one thing that they have in common is that they failed. And so I began asking myself the question, why is it that we are afraid of the thing that made the most successful people we know who they are? And what if we could embrace that? What if we could learn from that and move towards it? And so when I met Kobe Bryant, I simply told him, I said, hey, my name is Ryan Leake, and I am doing a documentary called Chasing Failure. And I'm going to ask a lot of people, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? And I think failure is the biggest invisible bully in the room, and I don't think any of us should be afraid of it. When I told Kobe Bryant that, he looked me in the face. He's a very stern, focused individual. He said, every kid in America needs to hear that message. And I'm like, yeah, Kobe, don't steal my idea. Like, yeah, I know that. Like, yeah, of course, right?
And you didn't get that sassy with him.
No, I didn't. I should have. Yeah. And then I realized I didn't actually tell him, you know, what exactly I was going to do. And so my wife's looking at me like, you kind of messed up the pitch. I'm like, I know. What do I do now? And so I said, so, hey, Kobe, you know, the thing that I'm going to be trying, because I'm not afraid to fail, is I'm going to be an MBA. Now, it's one thing to, you know, tell your mom that, you know, you want to be president. It's another thing to sit with a president and tell him that, you know, like, this is the actual Kobe Bryant, you know. And he just looked me in the face and he said, yeah, do it. Go for it. And that was so unexpected. I expected him to give me the cost of being in the NBA. But he just gave me the encouragement to just do it and go figure out the cost myself. And that was very, very unexpected. So we had a pleasant conversation. And then some kids came into sort of this VIP room at Staples Center to also get their time with Kobe. And so I wanted to be respectful of their time. So me and my wife started to slip out. And as we were slipping out, Kobe lifts his head and says, hey, Ryan. And I said, yes, Mr. Bryant. And he said, send me that documentary. And I don't know why. Like, I was planning on doing the documentary, but for some reason, when he said that, there was this, oh, you have to do it now, because he's going to be checking his phone every day waiting for you to send him this documentary.
So I'm going to jump in here, Ryan, because we have a hard break. Yeah. But here, you know, this is like a double whammy for you, because you've committed now to try out for the NBA, and you've committed actually to a documentary that Kobe's going to be watching for. There's more to the story, friends. Talking to Ryan Leake. We'll be back in a bit, but I want to hear from you. What would you do if failure wasn't an option? Text 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thank you so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to my friend Ryan Leake. He's an author, speaker, he's a consultant, he's a filmmaker. And we're talking about his documentary, Chasing Failure, and you'll find it on his website, at least a 15-minute version of it. Fantastic. And I asked you, what would you attempt to do if you knew you couldn't fail? I've been getting some sweet answers. Robert says, well, one thought comes to mind is to expand on feeding the hungry, providing shelter for the homeless through the knowledge that most times this lifestyle is a choice. Is not a choice, a circumstance that people do not want to be in. So, Robert, thanks for sharing. So, Ryan, before the break, you were talking about this. So, in college, you were an All-American basketball player, but you were kind of making the distinction between the pros and you. You're solid, but you're in your 6'3", 195, but you still had this dream to try out for the NBA, and you got a chance to meet Kobe, and you committed by saying, hey, I'm gonna try this.
Right.
So, you're kind of all in. So, take it from there.
Yeah, you know, I always encourage people, whenever they have a goal or a dream, There's so much power in sharing it with others because it almost comes with this accountability. Because if I tell you I'm going to do something and 3 months later we're having a conversation, you're going to ask me about it. Hey, how is that? And that's what started to happen. I actually got hurt and I was like, oh, maybe this is kind of fizzle out. I'm not sure. And here's the other thing. Most people don't understand. We're talking about the National Basketball Association. Not a church
NBA.
Men's league. This is not the YMCA. It's the NBA. So, you know, Kobe saying, do it. Hey, send me a documentary. Like, getting in the NBA, you need an agent. You need to go to Duke University. You need to go, like, there's protocol here that I was not in privy to. I was privy to, but I didn't have any of that. So I was at a little bit of a loss of going, you know, I don't think that they're not just going to let me do this. And so I actually started emailing NBA teams. I actually found the public relations emails for every NBA team on one website. It's amazing what you can do with Google these days. And I actually started with the Boston Celtics. And I said, hey, you've got Celtics fans all over the city who I know are afraid to fail. And I don't think they should be. Can you imagine if we took some of their dreams off the shelf together? And imagine if you believed in this project enough to give a complete stranger an opportunity to try out for your basketball team. I'll probably fail, but what if I don't? There's only one way for you and I to find out, and that is for you to let me try. I was terrified to send that email. It felt illegal. I don't know why it felt illegal, but it just felt like
you were breaking all kinds of rules.
Yeah. Like, it just felt like I was breaking the law 100%. Yeah. And I hit send, I shut my laptop, and I ran out the door, went to lunch, tried to get my mind off it because I just thought, Ryan, this is crazy. What is wrong with you? You can't just email the Boston Celtics. Come to find out, you can. And they wrote me back, and they said, hey, it's a great idea. It's just not for us. Best of luck in your endeavors. And I thought, man, that's discouraging. Like, there's some rejection there. You know, of course, why you start questioning yourself, your abilities, your skill sets. And then I thought, you know, did the Boston Celtics literally just email me back? Like,
right.
That's amazing. Like, I'm a complete stranger. They have no reason to even read my email, but they did. And all of a sudden, I got more courage than ever before, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to make a documentary about being told no by all 30 NBA teams. This is going to be awesome. And so I'm looking forward to how they're going to tell me no. And I thought, okay, the last no will be the Dallas Mavericks right where I live. And I'm going to go there in person and they're going to tell me no to my face. And then I started getting so excited about being told no, I started asking myself, who else could I be told no by? So I reached out to Nike and said, hey, doing this documentary, would love to work out in Nike gear. And this is the project, and kind of gave them the same scope that I had given the Celtics. And they said, hey, email John. So I emailed this guy, John, you know, at Nike Basketball, and sent him the pitch, and he writes back, you know, send me your shirt size, shoe size, short size, sweatshirt size, and who's your favorite NBA player? I said, Kobe Bryant. And, you know, they sent me about $2,000 worth of gear to work out in. And I just thought, man, failing's awesome, man.
Like, amazing.
I'm trying to fail. I want to fail more and more. I'm trying to – who else can I fail with? Like, and you know what? The worst thing in life someone can really tell you is no.
Right.
But I mean, it's like, what is it really, you know, why are we so afraid of that? And so about five teams in, I had reached out to the Lakers, and the Lakers said, you know, there'd be like a $50,000 permit that I would need to purchase just to be able to film on their premises. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, it's not that serious. And then, you know, heard back from a few other teams, and but the fifth email was to the Phoenix Suns, and you know, they wrote back, hey, we love this idea, can you come on Monday? And I was like this Monday, this is on a Friday. They said, yeah, bring your camera crew. I'm like, I don't have a camera. Yeah, camera crew, you got it. You know, me and these people, I'm about to call and
find?
Text right now. We're going to find as many camera crew-like individuals as fast as we possibly can. So I hit up the video guy from my church, and I said, man, I need you to go to Phoenix with me. Don't ask any questions. Of course, he asked questions. And he's like, what are we doing in Phoenix? I said, don't worry about it. It's going to be awesome. He's like, dude, for real, what are we doing in Phoenix? I'm like, man, trying out for the Phoenix Suns. And he's like, Ryan, what are we really doing in Phoenix? Like, he couldn't. He's like, I know you're good, but you ain't that good. Like, what are we really doing? What are we doing? I think, no, man, you're not going to believe this, man. Like, we got an opportunity of a lifetime to go to Phoenix and work out with the Phoenix Suns. Now here's kind of the fun part that most people that have heard me even tell this story don't even realize. So when I was going back and forth with the Phoenix Suns about this workout, I was told that I was just going to be doing a workout with Jeff Hornacek, who was the coach at the time, which in the basketball world isn't that difficult. He's just putting you through drills and seeing how you do in drills, but you're not actually playing anybody in the NBA yet. You're just there with some coaches, like, and they're going to say, all right, you know, run up and down and see how fast you can do it, and they kind of have their NBA standards, but you don't actually have to face any giants. So I was told that I had a workout with Jeff Hornacek. So when I actually showed up to Phoenix, the team was there. And so I'm looking in this practice court, like, what are they doing here? And they're like, they're at work. What are you doing here? I'm like, oh, that's right. They do work here. I don't then. And so I'm like, are we going to wait till they're done? How is this, like, what? So I'm mentally prepared for just a, let me impress a coach. I didn't actually anticipate getting the, especially on the first day. So, I mean, he just threw me right in. He just said, get dressed. And you know, we just jumped right in. And I was the oldest person in the room at, I believe, age 26 or 27 at the time. I was the shortest. I was the slowest. I was the weakest. I mean, it was the only thing I had on them was a little bit of experience and a little bit more IQ, but that's about it. So there was, and the funny thing is they were probably going like 60-70%. I was going 150. And my 150 matched their pace that they were choosing to go. But, I was pretending not to be out of breath, but I was, and it was an incredible time.
And there was a point where, you know, I see it watching the documentary where the coach asked you to do a 3-minute sprint from end to end of court, and the players are all there and they're all watching you, so they didn't really show a lot of mercy, so to speak. I mean, they jumped you in there. Tell us what happened with that sprint.
You know, when they asked me to do that sprint, I thought it was a different drill that they were asking me to do. I thought it was a shooting drill, which I love, and it wasn't. It was just pure running. And he does math for me. He's like, you actually have to cover the court 30 times in 3 minutes, which means you have to cover the court in 6 seconds. That's 94 feet in 6 seconds. For all of your listeners, I encourage you to, you know, go outside, measure 94 feet, and run that back and forth 30 times in 3 minutes and see if it's possible. It is possible. It's just, you know, there's not even a 3 minute sprint like in the Olympics. Sprinting, like it is. And there's the going back and forth is the problem. Like, it's one thing if you get your pace going and you're just going, but it's the back and forth that was. But yeah, the players stopped all their drills. They're just gonna watch me run. I went, oh, it's great. And then Jeff Horn's like, yeah, why don't we put up Ryan's total on the scoreboard? I'm like, that's completely unnecessary. I can count to 30 just fine on my own. And so the first 90 seconds, I got about 13. So I wasn't doing bad. But that second 90 seconds, I hit every kind of wall you can think of. Emotional, physical, mental, spiritual. I questioned God in that moment. I questioned my sanity. I was losing my mind. But at one point, I was limping past this logo, and it was the Phoenix Suns logo. Most of the time, it's a 24-hour fitness logo. But this particular Monday, it was the Phoenix Suns logo. And I asked myself this question, Ryan, how did you get here? Because there's lots of other places you could be on this Monday afternoon, but you are at the Phoenix Suns practice court. How did you get here? And I realized chasing failure took me further than chasing success ever did.
What a great place to break. Chasing failure took him further than chasing success ever did. And, you know, you think about it, when you're chasing success, it becomes so much about self-preservation. And so many ambitions and motivations muddy the waters. But when we're not afraid to fail, when we know who we are, I think God brings real clarity about what kind of risks you ought to take. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation, just even what's happened after that and what God taught you about yourself, Ryan, and about risk-taking, about knowing who you are, not being afraid of failure. I would love to hear from you too. I've Courage Kai, we love him. He's a great listener. He says, if failure was not the thing that I was afraid of, I would want to become a marriage counselor, not for the money, but to encourage others after the wedding ceremony, to prepare them for what they're entering into and walk with them as they journey. 877-933-2484 or email middays at myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. Tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson having a great conversation with Ryan Leake. He's a filmmaker, author, speaker. He produced a documentary called Chasing Failure. You'll have to look him up, and a 15-minute version is on his website. But this guy actually, by chasing failure, dared to try out for the NBA. He emailed all these NBA teams, got a chance with the Phoenix Suns, actually made it onto their court to try out. And you made such an amazing point that even though these players were in a different, I mean, still, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. One thing I was so impressed is that you actually got in shape for this. I mean, you upped your game and started to eat healthier, started to work out. You actually took steps. This wasn't a joke to you. I mean, you were dreaming, you were chasing failure, but you stewarded the gifts, and then you did make a showing on this court. I mean, you weren't a total, you know, fail by any stretch. You held your own. You could sprint. You can shoot. I mean, your three-point shot is unbelievable. But you were saying how, I mean, really, seriously, though, but here you are, running across this gym floor, and you're a guy that works out. But this particular day, you saw the Phoenix Suns logo right under your feet, and you're like, how did I get here? And you said, well, chasing failure brought you more, how did you say that? More success than chasing
failure
success.
Took
you
me
further
than chasing success,
Yeah, amazing. So, you know, looking back over your shoulder now, I mean, when you're talking about why we're so afraid of failure, I think it's because our identity is way too wrapped up in failure and even in success. And so what do you say to that? And how does a person break free so they're free to fail?
You know, I think that there is something so freeing about asking ourselves some of those questions. Is there shame tied to failure? Are we afraid to be vulnerable? Are we trying to prove something to someone? And I think it's important that we identify who the someone is that we're trying to make an impression on. Who are these people? Are there people? Are they people that we know? Are they, is it our parents? Is it, are we competing with a sibling, a cousin? Did someone else make a comparison of us to someone else, and we're, you know, internally competing with them? Is it somebody we follow? Like, what is tied to our success and our failure, and what does that do for our psyche? And I just believe that failure is a necessity. And I think we all need it on some level. I think it keeps us humble. It keeps us a student. It keeps us in a position of always learning. As a public speaker, I get an amazing opportunity to speak to thousands of people every single week, and I fail all the time. I make mistakes, and it pains me. I'm my biggest critic. I could pick apart any one of my messages, any one of my – I'm my own worst critic. But every time I fail, I learned. I learned something about people. I learned something about audiences. I've matured. There are things that I said 10 years ago that I'm embarrassed by. There are things I said a year ago that I'm embarrassed by. But those were moments that allowed me to learn and to grow. And I'm a firm believer that we have to remove our identity from success or failure.
Yep, from that conversation.
I think they both could be equally poisonous.
Indeed.
To okay. our souls. And so I think that there has to be a foundation of our identity in Christ to say, you know, I already know who I am. So if you like me or if you don't, if you love a project that I did or don't, or if you approve of it, or if you you know, even with my business, I can't tell you how many proposals I've sent to organizations where they just said no. I mean, but those were great moments for me. But I did it. I wasn't putting soul weighing pressure on getting yeses from those companies or those opportunities. It's me simply going down the path I feel like God has called me to do, and taking it one step at a time and doing the best that I can with whatever opportunity has been put in front of me, and not attaching so much of failure is an event. It's not who you are. It's something that happened, but it's not. I think somebody needed to hear today, you are not a failure, because there's a lot of people that have just had so many past failures and so many levels that they just feel like it's the theme of their life. And I just want them to know there's hope.
Indeed. It's almost like they wear it as clothing that's attached to their skin, like they've become one.
Right.
But truly, if you look at the spiritual realm, we're wrapped in a robe of righteousness. Jesus is the only one who gets to decide that. Yet I think, Ryan, even Christian leaders at very high level still very much attach their identity to what they do. Just some may they may be on the upside of
absolutely.
Their success, so it's not challenged. But you pull that rug out. I mean, it's all you have to do is you lose that job, you lose that ministry, you've been replaced.
Oh, absolutely.
What does it do to your soul? And if it destroys you completely, you know you're too attached. And I think that's why God does lead us into seasons of obscurity, all of us, to remind us that we're not what we do. We're just someone he loves. I think we all need those seasons, don't you?
Absolutely. And I actually encourage people, you know, you're going to end up in that season of obscurity of having to trust God by choice or circumstance. And so I just encourage people to choose it now. humble yourself now. Put yourself in a place now, even if you're at a place where you're thriving in your career, that's the moment that you fall on your knees. It's not, let me reach out to God during an emergency. No, in the good times, God, I need you just as much as I did in the low time. Don't let me squander any of this without you. You've got to have that foundation. As a kid, I used to pray, God, I don't need to get in a car accident today for you to get my attention. You have it. I don't need tragedy to run to you. I'm here. I'm listening. If there's something you want to say to me, I'm right here. I don't need a wake up call if there's something. And I think that's why stewarding, it's almost like you're stewarding failure as much as you're stewarding success.
Yeah.
Is to go, Lord, this is all yours. The good, the bad. You're in all of it.
Hey, friends, can I get an amen? Mike from Maple Grove led the way. He sent an amen. So text me 877-933-2484. This one deserves an amen, Ryan, I'm telling you. The combination, I feel like, I always talk about holy confidence and humble dependence, where that holy confidence is you're not attached to what you do because you're attached to Jesus. But then the humble dependence, where you don't have an overdeveloped, inflated view of yourself or a shriveled view of yourself, where you're dependent on God and you're teachable and you say you're learning these lessons. And what advice do you have for that person listening today who's saying, I'm not sure how to break free from what I do. I don't know how to detach what I do from who I am. What advice do you have?
I think that it's important that we all have, I call them the committee. There are three guys I went to college with, Phil Johnson, Daniel Young, and Dustin Wells. We are the committee. And what the committee does is they serve as really life counsel, life assistance. Anytime any one of us is getting ready to make a major decision or make a major move, we always consult each other. And what that allows us to do is it allows us to manage our priorities well and to keep things to remember what's actually important. And what my friends are really good at is reminding me that my family is the most important thing in the world, not my career. No opportunity is greater than spending time with my kids. And I think having a great foundation of people in your life that can remind you of who you are. And quite frankly, what I love about my friends too is they don't care if I'm successful at all. They were my friends long before a wedding. They were my friends long before meeting Kobe Bryant. They're just my friends, and they don't need me to be successful to love me. I think it's important that you're in some sort of small group where you can be unconditionally loved without having all these performance-based relationships.
Well, we've talked to psychiatrists and brain experts and theologians, and they all say the same thing. Your soul cannot heal, and you cannot be delivered from shame outside of an intimate community of people who say, I'm not going anywhere. In your worst messes, I'm staying right here. And I like that you have this tight little tribe. I've got a few women in my life in that same way who also will say the hard truth if you need to hear it. So, amen,
absolutely.
Amen. Well, I can't tell you how much I've appreciated this, and there's so many more questions I have for you, but it's time to go.
Yeah.
But will you come back and join us again? All right, I
absolutely
love...
will.
Yeah, we appreciate you
so
much. Give us your website real quick.
It's ryanleak.com, ryanleak.com.
All right. Thanks for tuning in today, friends. Hope you found some encouragement here today. And a shout out to my amazing producers, Kim and Carissa, who make every day brighter, every show better. And to you, my dear listener, always appreciate doing life with you. And we will meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.